Predator streak is over after going 16-0-2, defeated tonight by the Arizona Coyotes, and 8-4 is the final.
There you go. They got walloped last night. I did not see that coming. Woo, Stillman and Company. Right now, 102.5, 106.3, the game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live in the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Studios. Ian is here today. Hello, Ian.
What up, what up?
I was not expecting that performance. I was not expecting that last night from the Predators, especially after they got off to a 2-0 start. I mean, I thought, when they came out, put the puck in the net 5 seconds into the game.
Zucker, revenge goals.
And then put the puck, Cody Glass gets in there, which I actually had texted Robbie during the Vegas game. And I said, what does Bevilier do? And Robbie was like, nothing, Glass needs to be in there over him. They put Glass in there. Immediately, Glass gets in, gets 2 assists, setting Zucker up for goals. I'm like, this team can't be stopped. The problem was that they thought the same thing. So when they scored the 2 goals, I said, this team's unstoppable. They can't be stopped. I mean, no one is getting in the way of this team. And unfortunately, they thought the same thing. And then they played like it. And Arizona came right back and immediately punched him right in the jaw. My parents got new TVs, and I had to go like any good son that's under the age of 50. I went over to my parents' house, and I had to set up all the streaming services and everything, you know, on the TVs, because let's not kid ourselves. And my dad, I've showed him how to use the DirecTV app about 15 times, and still every time it's, so do I press this button? Do I press that button? And I should tell all the fine folks it's Fireball Hot Take Friday. But so I was over there yesterday. And I found out they got this new TV with the most perfect picture-in-picture I've ever seen in my life. And so I was able to get, you know, big screen basketball, little screen, and it looks like, I mean, it was just a perfect picture-in-picture, had the Predators against Arizona. So I looked up in the corner, and I saw it was 2-1. I'm like, wait a minute, they just scored. How'd they score? I went back and looked at it. I was like, that wasn't a very good goal. That was not pretty. Then they scored again. And then everything fell apart in the second period, and last night they got smoked by Arizona. So I thought it was a very disappointing performance, given the fact that they had a 2-0 lead to start the game. They were slow after that. They were not connecting on passes after that. I made a joke with my dad watching the game yesterday. You know, the Braves used to have a shortstop named Jeff Blauser, and he was terrible. But every time they'd hit a ground ball to him, half the time he'd boot it because he was trying to turn a double play before he'd look the ball into his glove. I mean, Forsberg has a look right in front of the net, and he's too busy trying to fire the puck in there that the puck gets behind him. And I'm like, this is Philip Forsberg. And so after they got that 2-0 lead, everything was a day late and a dollar short. Now, when they got it to 4-3 in the second period, I thought, oh, here we go. But 5 seconds later, Arizona punched one in, and it was 5-3. And at that point, I mean, there's no way around it. They were horrible last night. And as is the case, all good things must come to an end. But as far as the game itself is concerned and where it sits in the season and the team and everything else, I actually think the Predators needed a game like last night. They needed to get their asses kicked. Ian, did I not say during the breaks yesterday that I felt like they needed to get their asses kicked at least one time before the playoffs started?
I think you did say that.
And the only reason that I didn't bring it up on the air was because I was expecting the Predators to win, and that was probably going to be today's lead topic going into Colorado tomorrow. They need a reality check. I told you guys before the Vols went into the SEC tournament when Tennessee couldn't be beaten and Dalton Knecht couldn't be stopped, and I said, they need a loss. Preferably on Saturday in the SEC tournament, not Friday, that horrendous just rear-end smoking by Mississippi State. But I said they need a loss because they need the kind of game that makes them look in the mirror and say, oh, apparently our farts do smell. And I think that's what the Predators got last night. So I don't like losing. You know that. I enjoyed this win streak. It has been incredible. It has been so much fun to root for this team, to watch this team, for the fact that when the Predators scored, when Gus Nyquist put it in the net last night, and all of a sudden it was 4-3, I'm like, they're going to win the game. Like, I knew they were going to go out and win the game. Because that's what the Predators have been doing on this win streak. So while I don't like it, especially with Winnipeg having lost last night as well, and we're talking about the Predators trying to catch up to Winnipeg, and while I was actually hoping that the butt-kicking was going to come tomorrow against Colorado, because I think the best thing that could happen to the Predators is to get a tushy spanking against the team they're going to play in the first round of the playoffs, which I think is probably going to be the Avalanche, I wasn't upset about last night's performance. I didn't look at the game and think, wow, this is some grand sign that the Nashville Predators are in trouble. They went 18 games without losing in regulation. They lost one game to Montreal where a goal was taken off the board and a puck hit a stanchion and went into the net. They lost another game to Minnesota in which they tied the game with about a minute left in regulation. And if it wasn't for John Hines pulling one of the gutsiest moves I've seen probably all season, the Predators probably end up winning that one. I mean, everything had to go wrong in the two losses that the Predators had on this streak, this point streak. Well, last night, it came crashing back down to earth. But guess what? Reality is a really good place to live. And in reality, the Nashville Predators are a really good team who can beat anybody, just like they beat Vegas twice on this run. They beat L.A., they went on the road. They beat Winnipeg. They beat Colorado at home. They beat Florida. They've beaten everybody. They know they can beat everybody. I know they can beat everybody. You know they can beat everybody. But now they also know they can lose to anybody. Because Arizona's not good. Now, I don't know what it is about the Arizona Coyotes, but it is a freaking nightmare every time the Predators play them, especially there. In fact, when they lost to Arizona at home earlier this season, I thought the Predators were going to be a terrible team. You know, early, I think in November or whatever it was, they lost at that arena earlier in the year, that college arena they play in, and I'm not making excuses for them. But Barry Trotz told me, and I don't know if it was off the air or on the air, but Barry Trotz told me after the last time they played there, he's like, that arena is so incredibly difficult to play in because no NHL player is used to playing in that kind of arena. And again, I'm not making excuses for him. I thought what happened was they went out there, got up 2-0, knew they were good, knew they were playing a bad team, and thought they could coast their way into Colorado, and they got a reality check. And that's exactly what they needed. Because guess what? No team has ever gone 16-0 in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And as much as I enjoy watching this team play, as much as I believe in this team, as much as I've told you guys you need to believe in this team wasn't going to go 16-0 in the Stanley Cup playoffs either. It's okay. Last night does not change how good the Predators are, how good the Predators have been. And it certainly does not change their status as a Stanley Cup contender, which they are. It should just open our eyes, and more importantly, theirs, to what is possible. And that is, there are 2.5 weeks to go until the Stanley Cup playoffs start. And if this team takes its foot off the gas, the same way they took their foot off the gas last night, if they take that foot up off the gas, they're going to get beaten. I don't care if it's Winnipeg. I don't care if it's Colorado, Dallas, Vancouver, Edmonton, Vegas, L.A., Arizona, who's not making the playoffs. I don't care who it is. You will not beat them. If you think you've got it, you're not going to beat them. And that's been the story of Preds hockey for the last 10 years. Predators get comfortable in a playoff series, they blow it. Predators play desperate the entire time, they find a way to pull it out. So I actually think that as ugly as last night's loss was for the Predators, that if you just were to say to me and take all the context of the 18-game point streak out of it, and you were to tell me they went to Arizona and got walloped in a game that they started up 2-0, and that UC Soros was horrendous in, which he was last night, that the Predators were awful in puck possession, did not capitalize on scoring opportunities, had a chance to get back in the game, didn't take advantage of it. I would tell you that's unacceptable. But placed into the context of the fact that this team has gone a quarter of a season without losing in regulation, knowing that the Stanley Cup playoffs are coming up, knowing that the teams that play the best, as Peter Laviolette used to always say, are the teams that play the most desperate, I thought last night was good for them. I really did. I really thought that they needed one of these. And I, again, was kind of hoping that it was going to be on Saturday, tomorrow, but they needed a game that was a, hey, you guys think you're good, and the second you started to think you had it in the bag, the other team embarrasses you, because that's what happened last night. So I think last night was a good thing, and I think the Predators are in a good spot. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Your reaction to the Preds' loss last night. We're going to start on that. We got a lot to get into today. We got basketball. We got a ton of football that we're getting into today as well. 615-737-1025. I got to tell you, ever since this Elon Musk bought Twitter, it has gone right down the toilet. But last night, I mean, we gotta get to this. We'll do that coming up next. 615-737-1025 on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Let's talk about FanDuel Sportsbook. Say goodbye to busted brackets, because FanDuel lets you bet on every game of the tournament. So whether you're betting on a big upset or a one seed, it's time to go dancing on America's number one sportsbook. Right now, new customers get $200 in bonus bets for your first $5 bet when it wins. And I got to tell you, my dad had the best line last night. We were watching college basketball and the Preds. My dad said during the game, he goes, UConn's men's team is playing the way UConn's women's team used to play. I'm like, there is something to that. So that's $200 on point spreads, money lines, and you can even pick who's going to win it all. Just visit FanDuel.com/JGM and bet on college hoops until they cut down the net. 21 and over and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager. Only $10 first deposit required. Bonus issues, non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after. CC terms of sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
Puck is blocked in the zone. Keller gets a return now to Kerfoot, and Keller scores. They were able to triangulate around the Nashville goal. And the Coyotes tally on that power play to take a 3-2 lead. That goes off the end board and is brought out to center ice. Taken away from Forsberg by Keller. Sending in Logan Cooley. He cuts toward the net. He scores! Logan Cooley took the pass, breaks in, and gives the Coyotes a 4-2 lead. Two goals in a minute. Maltz outside the line. Inside left. Keller breaking in Bjugstad. His shot, he scores! Off the transition again. Coyotes back up by two. 5-3. Now back comes Maltz. Breaking in the net, he scores! Maltz cuts in through the right circle. And the Coyotes, who had trailed 2-0, now lead 6-3.
Poor Pete. Last night on the call, I mean, it was an onslaught. And again, under almost any other circumstance, I'd say it's completely unacceptable. In this case, I think they needed it. I think they needed a good old kick in the tush. And I had been saying that off the air. I was actually planning to lead with this today. If the Predators had won for a 19th straight game, I would have come on and said, hey, at some point they need to lose. And at some point, not only do they need to lose, they need to get smoked. Well, it happened last night. I do worry we might be a little too far away from the playoffs for this to be kind of the reality check moment, but it'll do. And so last night, I took it for the context with which it was, and I flipped to basketball, and I had a great rest of the night because outside of UConn blowing out the team that they played, San Diego State, every other basketball game was close. But Preds' Twitter was not. So this Elon Musk buys Twitter. And it has become a far more extremist place on almost every side of the aisle. It has become this, like, hate-filled Twitter sphere. And the only thing that Twitter's good for nowadays is sports. That's the only thing it's good for. You want to know if something's true or not? You're not going to find out on Twitter. But if you want to know who's coming up to bat next inning, Twitter's got you covered. And last night, Preds Twitter, maybe Twitter's just become a more hateful place. I don't know. But last night, Preds Twitter went crazy. I'm like, guys, 16-1-2 over 19 games is incredible. And yet, Twitter last night, Soros is no good, Jared. There's no, this team is going to get bounced in the first round. I've been saying it the whole time, and Soros is proving it tonight. And you do know that Colorado lost to Montreal two nights ago, right? Colorado, cup contender, lost to Montreal. You do know that Vegas, defending Stanley Cup champion, blew a 4-1 lead, lost to you the other night. Okay? Everybody loses. This is not college football, and you are not Alabama. It's okay. I had people texting me, oh no, Jared, now we're going to lose three straight and back into the playoffs. It's just awful. It's just, why don't we let them lose the three straight before we get mad at them for losing three straight? This team's phony. I've been saying it for the whole time. Yeah, nobody was listening to you when they were doing all the winning. Guys, chill out. And I don't think I'm speaking to most of the fan base. I think I am speaking to, again, it's like Twitter. You know, again, Twitter, you get the loudest voices, the fringiest whatever, and it's, you know, magnified to the nth degree because people get mad or whatever. And so I don't think I'm speaking to most of the fan base. Just some. It's going to be okay. The Predators are still a good hockey club. Last night doesn't change that. I looked at moneypuck.com. You still have a 99.5% chance of making the playoffs. It'll be okay. And as I said earlier, I'm an Atlanta Braves fan. And I grew up, I was born in 1989. I don't remember 89, and I don't remember 1990. And I don't really remember 1991 either. But as I was growing up, in 92, and 93, and 95, and 96, and 97, and the Braves kept winning and winning and winning and winning and winning, and it was great. Guess what? Some days John Smoltz got rocked by the Montreal Expos. It happened. He still ended up in the Hall of Fame, and it was okay. And that's how I feel about this. Last night's game was bad, no doubt about it. But, I mean, this idea that, like, oh, the Predators went to Arizona, got on the board early, got up 2-0, and all of a sudden thought that they were going to coast to victory because that's what they've been doing. And then it bit them in the tush, and all of a sudden you want to say that it's a giant sign of this team being a pretender instead of a contender is just ridiculous. Teams lose all the time in this league. You just haven't done it in 6 weeks, so all of a sudden you lose a game, and now half of Twitter's just freaking out. Guys, calm down. This is still a good hockey club. And I feel like sometimes when it comes to this and the run the Predators have been on and where they probably sit within the Western Conference and what it means for the playoffs, I feel like this lacks the total nuance of understanding that this thing could go either way. Right? Like, there's no way. They could win all the games the rest of the way in the regular season, and there's no way to know who they're going to play in the first round of the playoffs because there are so many other things that are independent of them. For instance, the Predators, if things stay the same, they're going to be the first wild card, which is what it looked like most of the time. Well, if they're the first wild card, they may draw into Vancouver. They may draw into Dallas. I think they have a much better chance of beating Dallas, and I think they have a much better chance of getting to the cup final if they stay on the central side of the bracket and play Dallas while Winnipeg and Colorado take each other on or something like that. Then I think they would have a chance of going to Vancouver and all the travel and then Edmonton and everything else. But I can't control, and they can't control, who they're going to play in that first round. And I still think they can beat all these teams that they would play in the first round. But they could also lose to all of them. It's like the basketball games last night. I mean, I know Alabama beat North Carolina last night. If you watch that basketball game, you think that if they played seven times that Carolina couldn't beat Alabama? Of course Carolina could have beaten Alabama. It came down to one possession at the end of the game. You don't think Arizona could beat Clemson? I do. And so I think the Predators can beat these teams. I think these teams can beat them. So there's a lot of nuance to this. And instead, one bad performance and Twitter's like, oh, they suck, Jared. I'm like, guys, it'll be okay. It's one game. And I've told you all that I don't come on the air and I don't say, it's a big game tonight if they lose the game. And then I say, well, it's just one game. But I didn't come on the air last night and say this was a big game. Because in the grand scheme of things, it really wasn't. You know, you're trying to catch Winnipeg, and so it'd be nice if you did so you can stay in the Central Division. But again, in the grand scheme of where the Predators lie, it wasn't that big of a deal. And yet, I mean, I'm looking on my phone, and I would just click the little bell, the notification button, and it would just, and it's all these people just, I knew this team was fake, Jared. Chill out. You may have a clunker like this in the playoffs, and that doesn't mean you're going to lose that playoff series. You may have two clunkers in a playoff series. You still win it. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Now, there is one caveat to all of this about playing poorly and me excusing it and everything else. And we'll get to that next and your phones at 615-737-1025 on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Let's talk about Window Nation. March is a critical time to check your home's windows because if your windows are cracked or leaking and they won't open or stay open, then it's time to call the pros at Window Nation and it's time to get them out there before all of a sudden it gets hot and it's about to get hot. You know Nashville. I mean, I get excited knowing that the draft is a month away because after the draft, it's boat season. But you know that when it's boat season, it's because it is freaking smoking outside. And if you don't have those windows right, that could be a problem, especially with insects and everything else that could be coming into your home. So right now, for every two windows you'll buy, you'll get two windows free, plus zero down, zero interest, and no payments for 24 months. With proven quality and service, it's no wonder why thousands have trusted Window Nation. I trust Window Nation. So again, for every two windows you'll buy, you'll get two windows free plus zero down, zero interest, and no payments for 24 months. Give them a call, 866-90-NATION, or visit windownation.com. Again, that's 866-90-NATION, windownation.com.
What improvements do you feel need to be made in order to go against a tough team in Colorado in order to get back in the win column?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, one of the toughest places to play in the league, and I think there's one thing we can take from that streak. I think there's a lot of trust in our game. We know how we have to play to be successful, to win games, and there's a lot of, like I said, there's a lot of trust. So I think as fun as this streak was, we got to find another level again, and we're in the playoff push still, so it's going to be a lot of important games. So yeah, let's just try to keep getting better and find that next level.
There you go. That was Roman Josi last night after the game, and I agree. You know, hey, things didn't go their way last night and play very well. It happens. It is what it is. Now, tomorrow is another measuring stick game when the Predators play the Colorado Avalanche. In fact, tomorrow and Tuesday, the Predators take on Colorado and Boston, and then after that, there is one playoff game remaining, which is against Winnipeg later, I believe, on April 9th. And then other than that, it is all, none of these teams are terrible except for Chicago and Columbus, but they're not great teams that you play the rest of the way. So Barry Trotz always talks about the standard, right? That whole story about why the team didn't end up going to Vegas for the U2 concert, which I don't think the U2 concert is what the players were probably most upset about. I mean, if I had to guess, what I would be upset about if I was making hundreds of thousands of dollars or millions of dollars in some of their cases, thinking more of like the younger single guys, you know, we're getting a couple of days in Vegas where we've got no hockey attached to it and we're staying at the nice hotels and, you know, that's what I would have been upset about. But regardless of that, I mean, Barry Trotz said, like, hey, there's a standard. If you don't meet the standard, we're not going to reward you for that. And it's now almost become an urban legend or a myth because of just how this team went on this crazy run after it. But again, the key word Barry kept using was the standard. I expect to see the standard tomorrow against Colorado. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to win, because Colorado's lost two in a row, including last night in a shootout to a very, very good Ranger team. But I am fascinated to see how this team responds after what I hope was a humbling experience last night in Arizona. 615-737-1025 is our phone number on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Texter says, Reddit was surprisingly more rational last night between Reddit and Twitter, and that rarely happens. I don't spend a lot of time on Reddit, although I am aware of it. Ian, do you spend a lot of time on Reddit?
I do not.
So I don't know if it was, I don't know if that just shows you that Twitter's now become a bigger cesspool than it used to be, or Reddit was more calm because you're allowed to type out more characters, so maybe you could put into context what bothered you about last night. I mean, Soros did not play well last night, but that doesn't mean that I don't think you can win a playoff series with UC Soros, which I think a lot of people are starting to do. A lot of people are starting to do that. Oh, well, you know, UC Soros never won a playoff series now. Yeah, because he had Kyle Turris in front of him. I mean, did you think that that team in 2020 in the bubble was any good? Because the whole season told you that they weren't. Did you think that team in 2021 was going to be able to knock off the Carolina Hurricanes, who were really, really good? By the way, Ian, is Carolina going on a heater in the East? Because now I see that they're like a cup favorite.
They have always been a cup favorite. Yeah, you probably left them out of the Boston, Rangers, Carolina, Florida. Yeah, they're a contender.
But they have no goaltending, right?
Well, they have Freddie Anderson. He had been in concussion protocol, I think. It was concussion protocol for a while, or upper body injury. And he used to play on Toronto a couple years back. So he is rocking and rolling for them.
I mean, Freddie Anderson is kind of like saying, you know, we got Ryan Fitzpatrick at quarterback.
Yeah, but
I mean,
when
you go to war with Fitzpatrick, you're probably not going to win the Super Bowl with Fitzpatrick, but you can go to war with him and he can.
But they're good enough around him. They can pull a Vegas.
That is true. Like, I mean, they got players.
So, yeah, I mean, Aho's having a career year for them. Svechnikov is back from his ACL. They made the trade for Gensel at the deadline.
That is right.
So, yeah, Carolina's good.
JT says the Predators need to stay in wild card number one position to face Vancouver versus having to play Colorado in round one. So this is what I've said about the playoffs. The first thing is there is no way, like, you have no control over this, because even if you finish in the first wild card spot, now it depends on between Dallas, Colorado, and Vancouver who finishes where for which wild card spot goes into which bracket. And that has nothing to do with you. The only things that I hope is I hope that the Predators stay in the Central, which would mean flights to Colorado or flights to Dallas, which a flight to Dallas is like an hour. And so the team can practice, they get on the plane, they're in the air for an hour, they get to Dallas, they check into the hotel, and on they go about their day. Whereas if it's Vancouver, I mean, I'm thinking what? Here to Vancouver is what, 5 hours probably? And so you got to fly, and then you got to go through customs, and then you're in Vancouver, which is very, very nice. And then you play the two games, and then you fly, and you go through customs, and then you're back. And then where it really gets you, I believe, and I've never played in the NHL, so I wouldn't know, but where I'm thinking that it really gets you is on the 1-1-1 at the end of a series. That's where I think the travel really catches up. Whereas if it's Dallas and it's 1-1-1, you can play game five in Dallas and then immediately hop the plane and come back right after it's over. And you're back in Nashville just like any other road game, 1 a.m., sleep in the next day, get to practice, and you're kind of reset. And I thought that was a big deal in 2017, which was that the Predators were going to Chicago, and then they swept them so they didn't have all those extra flights. But again, Chicago's an hour. And then they were going to St. Louis, which is an hour. And then, you know, then the travel and everything else started to become a factor when it became Anaheim. But once you get to that point in the playoffs, everybody is so tired and so exhausted anyways, it doesn't matter which side of a bracket you're on. The second thing for me, and I have said this and I am steadfast in this, which is I don't want Edmonton. And so is there a chance that Edmonton can make it all the way to the Western Conference Final? So if you knock off Dallas and then knock off Colorado, then you get McDavid and Draisaitl and Edmonton. And Edmonton has bad goaltending and Skinner, so some people would say, well, I'd rather play them. I've just seen the Predators play Edmonton about 100 times. And I think I've seen Leon Draisaitl score 9,000 goals. And so I would just prefer not to see them. Well, if you get drawn into that side of the bracket, there's a pretty good chance if you survive against Vancouver, which is not a given, and Vancouver's a very good team, if you survive that, then you're going to draw into McDavid and Draisaitl, and I don't want any part of that. And the West Coast travel and everything else. I'd much rather play Colorado, and the Predators have handled themselves well against Colorado. Now, we haven't seen what the new-look Colorado looks like, because when they came in here, they had Ryan Johansson and Bowen Byram, and now they don't have either guy. So we'll keep that in mind. Alex says, I can't see the Predators beating Dallas. They have no weakness besides their coach. He can never get the job done in the playoffs. Who's the coach in Dallas?
DeBoer.
I don't think DeBoer's a bad coach. DeBoer beat you. I don't have a problem with DeBoer. My thing with Dallas is that I just don't think Dallas is special anywhere. You know, I don't think there's anything about Dallas that I would say special. Whereas, again, what's a team I don't want to play? Edmonton. If I asked you, is there anything special about the Edmonton Oilers? You know the answer to that. Plus, when it comes to goaltending, and I haven't kept up with Dallas and I haven't looked at their stats or anything, but Vingan keeps saying that Jake Oettinger sucked this year. And I know that Saros can be pretty special when he's on. I definitely think the Predators can beat Dallas. And I think the best thing that happened to the Predators as far as playing Dallas, I think the best thing that happened to the Predators, period, and maybe the best thing that happens to the Predators in case they draw Dallas in the playoffs, is that 9-2 spanking. Because no matter how many games they win down the stretch, they do not play Dallas the rest of the year. And the last memory they have of them is that embarrassment. And so there's no way that they can look in the mirror and see Brad Pitt with Dallas coming to town after what Dallas did last time. But I just don't think Dallas is special. I think Dallas is tough. And so if you're kind of one of these phony soft teams, you'll lose to Dallas. Because Dallas is, I think they're just tough as nails. But I don't think they're special. Vegas has special. Vancouver has special. Colorado has special. Dallas and Winnipeg don't. Although Hellebuck can be special in the net in Winnipeg. Robbie's convinced that Edmonton is going to lose to Vegas in round one. Let me say this. That's the whole reason why I want to stay in the Central. Because if Vegas beats, because I want somebody to do my dirty work for me so I don't have to play Edmonton in the Western Conference Final. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Mel Kiper Jr. has his latest big board that is out. And there was one very fascinating riser and one very surprising faller. And we'll get to that coming up next because they both affect the Titans. By the way, it is baseball season. And today, tune into 94.9 The Fan as the Nashville Sounds take on the Toledo Mud Hens on the road. Thank you, yes. Pregame is at 2:50. So in 8 minutes, the pregame comes on 94.9 The Fan. First pitch, 3:05. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks Family Leisure and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning.
The O-line's the big problem field. Certainly a speed receiver is needed, but the offensive line has to be addressed. And that's where you hope, if you're the Titans, that either Joe Alt or Olu Fashanu are still there on the board. That, to me, is the biggest problem they have. If you got a franchise young quarterback, you can't keep getting beat up. Remember, Will had issues at Kentucky that final year with a bad offensive line. Comes to Tennessee with a horrible offensive line. Can you give this kid a break? Can you help him out and keep him healthy for the entire season? The O-line, to me, is the biggest problem for the Tennessee Titans.
Mel Kiper Jr. And Mel has his latest big board out, came out this morning. And let me just preface the beginning of this by saying that I'm not saying Mel's big board is the Titans' big board or is the real big board of life and that all these are going to be right or wrong or whatever. Because one thing that just drives me crazy every year is when some guy that they have ranked really high on these big boards by the draft gurus ends up falling to the 27th pick, and then it's like, oh my God, what a great value. They got the 13th best player with the 27th pick, and it's, no, he's the 13th best player according to you. According to you. I remember last year, apparently GMs around the league were getting pissed off because everybody was giving Howie Roseman so much credit in Philadelphia, like, oh, Howie, what a great draft. And everybody was like, if we wanted to draft Kelee Ringo out of Georgia, we would have drafted Kelee Ringo out of Georgia. But that's a different discussion. So Mel's board, let's just for argument's sake say that Mel's board is the Titans board. Mel's board today, Caleb Williams 1, no surprise there. Jaden Daniels 2, Marvin Harrison Jr. 3, Malik Nabers 4, Roma Dunze 5, Brock Bowers 6, Drake May 7. Interesting there. Joe Alt 8. Don't have a problem with that. Troy Fautanu has entered the conversation. The tackle slash guard at Washington at number 9. Dallas Turner, the pass rusher out of Alabama, is 10. Notice whose name I didn't call. Mel has Olu Fashanu at 16. So let's start with Alt at 8. So if you're picking 7th and Alt is the 8th best player in this draft, you can easily justify making that pick at 7 for a franchise left tackle who is the 8th ranked player in this draft. Because at that point that he's picked, Caleb Williams will be off the board, Jaden Daniels will be off the board, Marvin Harrison will be off the board, I feel pretty certain Drake May will be off the board, and so what at this point we're looking at, probably Malik Nabers is off the board. It's like, okay, Brock Bowers is the 6th best player, Joe Alt is the 8th best player, but then when it comes to positional value, left tackle is so much, is a much bigger position than tight end. So now Fautanu has entered the conversation at 9. But I don't know if Fautanu plays tackle. And that's what makes me nervous. Because in college, Fautanu did play tackle. But if we've learned anything about college in the NFL, it's that some guys that are tackles in college are guards in the NFL. And if Rand Carthon drafts a guard with the 7th overall pick after drafting a guard with the 11th overall pick last year, I mean, they'll run him out of town. So that has to be a tackle pick. Here's the problem, though. You can't draft Olu Fashanu with the 7th pick if he's the 16th best player in this draft. So I don't know what happened to Olu Fashanu. And I was kind of fascinated, you know, Mel, under each name that he wrote on his ESPN board, kind of had a breakdown of the guy beneath it. But it's all about the good things about the player. It's like being 16th in the draft is good. So here are all the good things about Olu Fashanu. The problem is I want to know the context of why Olu Fashanu has dropped from 8, 9, 7, wherever the hell he was, to 16th. And is it the baby hands? Or is it something else? Is it what Mel is hearing from teams? Could it be that teams are not telling Mel that they really like Olu Fashanu because they want to draft Olu Fashanu? But again, I am using Mel's board as the Titans board. See, that's what makes Mel Kiper, that's what made Mel Kiper Jr. famous. Before everybody had a social media account and a podcast, Mel Kiper Jr. put out a draft guide out of his basement in New York. Or excuse me, in Baltimore. He put out a draft guide. And they put him on TV. Mel was the ultimate insider who was outside. If that makes you feel, if you understand that. Like, Mel's got the information. I used to always ask Floyd, Floyd, when you were doing this, when you were GM, did you ever pay attention to Mel and what he was? And he just, no. He said he liked Mel, but he never cared about Mel's opinion, which I think is usually how 99.9% of the league thinks. But that doesn't matter. We're using his board in this instance as our board. You can't take the 16th best player with the 7th overall pick. And I don't care that you need a left tackle. And that as far as all these other guys are concerned, it's like a lot of them were talking about, well, he's really a right tackle, and I don't know if you can move him over. And Trevor was talking about J.C. Latham on Tuesday. Trevor said that he thinks there's a chance J.C. Latham might be a guard and that J.C. Latham is going to stay on the right side of the line. Well, I'm sorry, no thank you, if I'm going to have to move him into guard. So I know that Alt's a left tackle, and I know that Fashnu's a left tackle, and I think that Amarius Mims at Georgia is a left tackle. But I still can't take the 16th best player with the 7th pick. And at that point, if you're the Titans, now you're in a bind. Because if Alt is off the board and you're picking at 7, you have to have a dance partner that's willing to move up for that spot so that you can move out to be able to get Fashnu where he belongs. Because if you just take the 16th best player in this draft with the 7th pick because you think, well, I have to have a left tackle, now you're in trouble. Because now the team that picks 8th will have a better player than you. The team that picks 9th will have a better player than you. 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. All these teams will have better players than you if you do that. So why is Olu Fashnu dropping in Mel's board? I don't know. I can't tell you that. But the one thing that I absolutely can tell you is when that board is set, if Olu Fashnu is the 16th best player on it, you can't take him at 7. At that point, you might as well pick up the phone and call every general manager that is picking between 11 and 17 and say, here's what it will cost on draft night if J.J. McCarthy or Drake May is available with that pick. Now, I don't know what to say about Drake May if he's there with the 7th pick, because then we have to have a conversation about, do you draft Drake May and turn around and trade Levis? And I do wonder what the going rate for Levis would be. And I'm not getting into this whole discussion about whether or not you should do this, you know, Drake May over Levis, because I don't think it's going to happen. I'm sure at some point somebody will say that, oh, I hear Drake may not go in the top 10, and then we'll talk about it. But, like, if you're Denver and your option is using that first-round pick on Bo Nix or trading a second-round pick for Levis after the Titans have drafted a quarterback in the first round, wouldn't you rather have Levis? I think I would rather have Levis, but I don't know the answer to that either as far as, like, what they would for sure do. But the one thing I can tell you is if Fashnu is the 16th best player, you can't take him. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. The NCAA has decided that we all have to stay up until about 11 p.m. tonight watching Tennessee basketball, but it's a biggie. It is a biggie. We'll do that next. Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. It goes down so smooth and it tastes so great. There is no better way to ignite the night than to do it with ice-cold Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. What's not to celebrate? I mean, we've got the March hoops. We've got hockey right to the playoffs. Baseball starting. Everything. It's Fireball season. That's right. Fireball Whiskey. Ignite the night. Please do it responsibly and be 21 years or older to enjoy. That's Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey.